The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Take this job and shove it.
Get ready to go into business for yourself. The Franchise Academy Radio Show with your host and small business and franchise expert, Tom Skarda. I was
working for. Well, good evening. This is Tom Skarda, and welcome to the Franchise Radio Show. We're talking everything franchising here and everything you need to know about how to buy a franchise, sell a franchise. Actually, we talk about how to make your business into a franchise as well. One of the biggest things that people are concerned about in a franchise is location, location, location. And we're going to be talking to one of the really gurus of real estate tonight, and we're going to get to him in a minute. So David Towns is going to be on with us from Ripco Real Estate. So I'm very excited about that. You know, I used to own a franchise. I owned several franchises, actually. But my first franchise was something called Maui Waui Smoothies. And it was really considered a home-based franchise. What it was a tiki hut on wheels. And we would roll these tiki huts into anything from a Sweet 16 party to a wedding to a barbecue, street fairs. But I had the locations that were Jacob Javits Convention Center in Manhattan. And I had also the Nassau Coliseum for Islander hockey games when they were playing there. And also Jones Beach Theater. And even a little bit of Jones Beach Boardwalk for the 4th of July spectacular that they have. And, you know, it was not a brick-and-mortar business. So people think about businesses. You think about a franchise, you think about a brick-and-mortar business, something that's in a storefront. And they're not all storefronts. And that's good for a lot of people, especially somebody like me. When I was starting, I didn't have a lot of money to get started. And you know, to get into something that's brick-and-mortar, you need to have, you know, a good cash flow. You need to have good net worth in order to be approved by the landlord, let alone the franchise company. And so we're going to talk about the ins and outs and the nuances of that with David from Ripco Realty in a couple of minutes. The you know, getting into a franchise is, you know, not that difficult, but you really need to be financed well, and you need to really pick a franchise that's good for you. You have to realize that when you're in a business, you know, there's a myth that you get into a business and it's, you know, typically a food franchise, and you're going to be tied down to that business, you know, 17 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's not entirely true. It really depends on the franchise. So you have to really look for the right franchise that's going to meet your lifestyle. And that's really, really important. Just because a franchise is doing well and you might go to one and there's lines out the door, it doesn't mean that it's a good franchise for you. You got to really find a business that's going to be a really good fit for your lifestyle. And they have to have a system in place where you can have a manager and you don't have to be there every day. So there's different ways to run a business. And there's different types of real estate to get involved in. So you can have a storefront type real estate or a warehouse, or you could even be in like an office situation. So there's all different things. You could be on what they call a pad in a parking lot. That's like when you go to a mall and you see in the corner of the parking lot, up in the front of the mall, there's usually like a Red Lobster or a big sit-down type restaurant. So we're going to talk with David Towns, and we're going to bring David on now. Hey, David, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, very good, Tom. How are you?
This is great. I'm so happy to have you on board tonight.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is great. So just a little bit about David. I mean, people don't understand the nuances of commercial real estate, so we're going to really get into that. And, you know, David is somebody I met many years ago as he was helping one of my candidates get into some real estate in New Jersey for a kickboxing franchise. But David is a licensed real estate broker, and he handles New York, New Jersey, and he's with Ripco Realty, Ripco Real Estate, which is one of the biggest commercial real estate organizations in the country. And he brings all this, you know, more than 7 years of tenant and landlord experience from the New York area. And he really has a specialty in New York New Jersey, Hudson Valley, Long Island, the boroughs, and helps people with finding retail space. And he gives consulting services and really helps people understand site selection and lease negotiation, and has been phenomenal with some great brands that you may even know, such as, you know, Panera Bread and Moe's Southwest Grill and Phoenix Salon Suites and Sports Clips. So always been around real estate. Somebody who really, really cares about what he does in real estate. And that's why I wanted to bring him on the show. So again, welcome, David. I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thank you, Tom. I appreciate all the kind words.
No, my pleasure. This is really a phenomenal piece of getting into business, is really, you know, trying to understand real estate. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that and just, you know, renting commercial spaces and, you know, what the basics are. So how is rent quoted? You know, what are, you know, NNNs and, you know, all that stuff and triple net space, you know, that, what does all this stuff mean?
Absolutely. It can sound kind of confusing if you're not familiar with the terms of the business, but when you enter into a commercial or a retail lease, rent is typically quoted as a base rent, and then it's quoted as a triple net charge in addition to the base rent. Mm-hmm. The triple nets are consisting of three things: the real estate taxes, common area maintenance, and shopping center insurance. And that cost is generally a pass-through directly from the landlord to all the tenants on a pro rata share. So you might hear a landlord or a broker quote you $25 in the triple nets or 10 bucks a foot. So you're going to be paying altogether $35 per square foot for that space.
Okay, explain that again. So give me that quote. So I'm trying to do the math. I got my pen out here, and I failed math several times. So well, so tell me. So triple net is your tax, your CAM, common area maintenance, and your real estate insurance. So somebody will say to me, "Hey, we got the space for you, and it's $10 a square foot, triple net."
Right. So the $10 a square foot is their asking base rent. And generally, that's the portion of the number that you can try to negotiate. So there might be some room in that $10. Now, the triple nets are a direct pass-through, and they're non-negotiable. So, like I said, they consist of the taxes, the common area maintenance, which is like landscaping, snow plowing, making sure the lights in the parking lot are on, stuff that is a benefit to all the tenants in the property, and shopping center insurance. So if it's $5 a square foot, it is what it is, and all the tenants pay it, like I said, on a pro rata share basis. So if there's a 100,000 square foot shopping center and you're only leasing 20,000 square feet of it, you'd be paying 1/5 of the entire triple net for the property.
Yeah. That's much clearer to me. Okay, I got that. And you're saying that the CAM charge and all that stuff is not negotiable because it's just an equation of the square foot of the whole entire shopping center divided by how many tenants they have. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
All right. Well, that, you know, that's cool. I mean, a lot of people feel like, oh, you know, I got this great rent, and they don't realize that, you know, they have the CAM on top of it.
Exactly, and the CAMs can vary pretty dramatically from market to market. So, you know, for instance, in Nassau County, there are some shopping centers where the triple net charges are in excess of $25 a foot. Wow. And it's a crazy number, but it is what it is. And it's mostly the taxes in Nassau County that account for a large portion of that number. I hear you laughing, so I guess you live out there.
Yeah, well, I live in Nassau County. I've rented commercial property in Nassau. I've paid $25 a square foot.
It's almost like a double rent sometimes. But, you know, you can take heart in the fact that all the other tenants are suffering the same as you.
Yeah, I guess, maybe. But on top of that, though, we also have the highest lighting bills, energy costs, I think, probably in the country next to Hawaii, I read somewhere. I don't know if that's true or not, but... it's expensive, and so you got to really know how to find that real estate.
Exactly. I mean, for many reasons, the markets in and around New York City have some of the toughest barriers for entry for retail tenants and for any commercial tenants.
Right. Yeah. New York, New York. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
There you go.
So what should franchisees look for when they're evaluating retail real estate?
So, you know, you start looking, and there's a lot of different factors that should come into play when you're evaluating a retail site. A few of the important ones that we like to, you know, bring to our clients' attention are the co-tenancy of the retail property. Who else is in the shopping center with you? You know, is it a good mix of national tenants and a good balance of restaurants, retail, gyms, services? Who makes up the property, and how can you benefit from being their neighbor?
Right.
Another one is pretty basic, but it's traffic. Mm-hmm. You know, how many people pass this site every day? How many people walk past it, and how many cars pass it? You want to be on the major retail thoroughfare of the market to get the most exposure to your brand.
Right. You know, I mean, it's so important. You know, they always say success in a business lies in three factors: location, location, location. Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you're one of the most important, you know, linchpins in this whole endeavor of starting a franchise, trying to find that right space. It's absolutely critical in a brick and mortar to be in the right space. I mean, I also think about the kind of cohabitation of the same type of consumer that visits that particular shopping center or strip mall, if you will. Like, I have a friend who is he's starting up a franchise in eyelash extensions. I don't know if you've seen this.
Sure.
Yet.
Yeah.
So we're like, so what would be a good tenant? You know, and it makes sense to be next to a massage therapy place, a gym, because it's basically 100% females that are going for eyelash extensions. So does it make sense to do that? I mean, do you need to go into?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it would probably make sense for that retailer to really think hard about looking for locations that have other personal services that are, you know, different enough from what they're offering, but people may be going there, you know, and spending money on themselves for other reasons. And, you know, that could be a good equation to get into, offering that service.
I mean, it's almost like they should set up like a national partnership to say, hey, wherever there's XYZ franchise, we want to be in the same shopping center because we have the same clients for different services.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these retailers, I mean, they kind of piggyback on each other. So if you see like a Chipotle, you're going to find other fast casual restaurants that want to be next to them. Mm-hmm. Because people can't eat a burrito every day, you know.
Right.
They're going to eat a burrito on Monday, and then the next day they might have your pizza.
Right.
So, you know, they benefit from being next to each other. And so you'll see food guys kind of follow each other around, and you'll see, you know, one of my clients, Phoenix Salon Suites, they like to be in shopping centers where there's a Cosmoprof or a Sally Beauty, because those beauty professionals are going there already to buy the products. So
makes sense.
That's their customer. Yep.
That's phenomenal. That is great. If I was Phoenix, I would put that Cosmoprof right in the Phoenix Salon, but that's just me. That's really phenomenal, and it's so fun to look at real estate and see, you know, how things are opening and where people are opening and non-traditional sites and things like that. It's just so great, and I think that. You know, a question that I have for you, actually, as I'm, my mind is wandering, is it's a question I always wanted to ask a real estate professional like you, is why does it matter if I'm looking at wet space or dry space? What does that mean? What does it matter?
Sure. So, you know, you may drive past a space and think it's a perfect location, and I'm the perfect tenant to go there. And there might have been a clothing store in there before, but you want to open a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Restaurants, you know, would be considered a wet use, and they have very different utility requirements than a clothing store. Mm-hmm. They're going to need, you know, a different set of requirements to make it work. So a landlord that's got a former clothing store or a dry use may not want to go through the hassle of reconfiguring the space for a restaurant, so they'll want to keep it another dry use.
I see.
And especially on Long Island and parts of Long Island like Suffolk County, where the, you know, access to sewers is somewhat limited, you know, you run into that a lot where, you know, you can't necessarily put your, you know, your Moe's Southwest grill in the space that you want because of this reason.
Yeah. And so as you're looking at a franchise, you kind of have to think that through, in my opinion. Like when you're working with somebody like me, a franchise consultant, and you're picking companies that you might want to go into, you got to really think about what it's going to take to get into these kind of spaces. And then you got to think about the county that you're in, and you should contact your county to find out what the requirements are.
Sure.
Because I kind of learned the hard way with this kind of stuff, in that, you know, as you're talking about in a wet space, in a restaurant, you need, I think it's 4-inch pipes as opposed to residential 2-inch pipes.
Mm-hmm.
You need a certain upgraded electrical system because you're going to have so many refrigerators and stoves and all this stuff. In certain parts of Long Island, there is no gas. You have to use electric stoves. So all these little elements really, really matter. And then, you know, there's the fire department that you have to adhere to as well.
Oh, yeah. And they'll count your seats, too. I mean, I recently helped a fast casual restaurant called Zoop open up in Carl Place. Long Island.
Absolutely. Love Zoop.
Yeah, and they're doing well so far, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a great shopping center right on Old Country Road. Yeah. But it took a long time for them to get open, and a big part of that was getting hung up with the town of North Hempstead.
Mm.
And it's a very busy shopping center, and they counted every seat that they put in there. And, you know, it took a lot of hoops to get that thing approved.
Yeah, right, right. And so what do you mean by counting seats? What does that mean to the county?
Sure. So, you know, a typical 2,500 square foot Zoop may want to put in 60 seats. And based on parking availability in the property and the county evaluating the retail property, they may limit that tenant to 30 seats.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever is permitted by the code, which you should always, you know, do some due diligence, go to the town, you know, talk to the building department, find out what the requirements are before you, you know, take it too far down the line, so that you're equipped with that information going into it.
Okay, and usually, I mean, is the onus on the real estate agent, the franchisee, or the franchisor, or everyone?
It's really, you know, in my experience, it's a team effort, but if you have a good, you know, real estate advisor, you can lean on them. But, you know, as the person that, you know, put their money on the line and bought the franchise, it's never a bad idea to educate yourself and make yourself the expert.
Right, right. Yeah, no question about it. And I think it's, you know, I know the shopping center where Zoop is, and I know Zoop. I know the founders, actually. I've met them at franchise shows and stuff. So it's an amazing place. I mean, so they are in an amazing shopping center. I know where they are. Would it make sense, if they could, to go into a cheaper space, or is it worth paying the extra rent for the foot traffic, in your opinion?
In my opinion, there's a good reason why things are priced differently.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let the prices scare you off if it's the right location, is my advice. And, you know, like you said before, you know, it's kind of cheesy and cliche, but location, location, location. And, you know, you need to be in the right location. And particularly for a concept like that where they're new to the market, they don't have a brand name in Nassau County. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's good to be in the right location.
Yeah, it's going to pay off in dividend. In my opinion, it'll pay off in space.
Oh, yeah.
No question about it. Because I got into a real estate space once that I took the cheaper space across the street from another space, and paid dearly and ended up losing the business because I just didn't have the foot traffic. So, you know, not only have I run very successful franchises, I've actually failed miserably in a franchise, which actually made me the franchise expert that I am now, because you learn so much from the mistakes. You don't learn that much from the success, but the mistakes, man, that's what really made me an expert. And
well, hopefully we can all learn from your mistakes and not our own.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to get my book, Franchise Savvy, and that's where I talk about my mistakes. But that's great. So we're going to take a break. David, would you mind sticking on? We're going to come back. We're going to talk about T&I money and how to find the perfect location for your franchise. Do you mind?
Sounds good.
All right, everybody, stick by, and we will be back with David Towns from Ripco Realty talking about real estate, how to pick the perfect spot, location for your new franchise venture. Stay tuned.